There once was a kindergarten teacher. It's always a kindergarten teacher, right? There once was a kindergarten teacher walking around the classroom one day, observing the class as they worked on their freeform art. There were houses and elephants, rainbows and large scribbles of brown something or others. And then the teacher came to Hannah. "Hannah, that is really interesting. What are you drawing?" Hannah matter-of-factly replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher paused, not quite sure how to proceed. Finally, she said, "But no one knows what God looks like." Without looking up from her drawing, Hannah replied, "They will in a minute." Like it or not, that joke comes from a long line of questionable jokes told on Easter to remind us of the joke that Jesus pulled on the devil in the resurrection. But I have to believe that given our gospel from John today, in reading about Mary's reaction to seeing or not seeing Jesus, which frankly is the case in most of the post-resurrection appearances, we don't always know what God looks like either. We don't always recognize the eternal in the everyday, the invisible made visible. Often, we need some help to see, to keep looking. There is nothing like Easter Sunday to see people in their finest, Easter dresses, bonnets, coats and ties, brand new flip-flops. Even I've got new clothes on today. Our sacred space is spruced up as well. This past week, with tremendous generosity, members of this parish have spent countless hours polishing, decorating, arranging, preparing, and it is simply beautiful. And the music that we have been experiencing these past few days, thanks to the leadership of the choir and the angel band, all of our musicians, has consistently moved us even to bring tears. But even on this splendid day, I realize that not everybody may feel as comfortable in their nice Easter outfits. If your partner or your mom or your son brought you here today and you're not quite sure why you're here, that's okay. And the reading from the gospel this Easter morning, it is clear to me that you are not alone. Because even in the midst of all this pressed and dressed beauty that is good and right and true, we cannot forget the state in which the followers of Jesus arrived early that Sunday morning. Remember that Mary came in grief to mourn. And the beloved disciple and Simon Peter ran to the tomb in fear that the body of their leader and their Lord had been stolen. So even as we come to this Easter day to celebrate, we also bring with us the pain of our lives. Jobs not yet found. Relationships strained to the breaking point. Futures uncertain. If you are feeling this way this morning, I am really glad that you have come. Because this feast is for you as well. Even if your collar feels a bit too snug or the shoes don't fit quite right. Even if you are uncertain or skeptical or not all the way there, you are welcome here. We are all looking together. Friends, what I always find fascinating is that in our gospel accounts of the resurrection, none of them actually explain the resurrection. Instead, they proclaim it. They tell us of its effects and show us the change that this reality makes in the lives of those who have experienced them. They proclaim a truth that many are desperate to know, that death has been defeated, the barrier between the infinite and the finite is broken, and that God is on the loose. I believe that part of why we don't get an explanation for that nearly unbelievable event is that those who came close to the risen one in Jerusalem that morning and in the days that have followed, it wasn't simply about what they thought. It was about what they heard, touched, and saw that led them to believing. In our gospel for this morning, the words to look or to see appear 11 times in 18 verses. Mary sees that the stone has been removed. The beloved disciple and Simon Peter see that the linen wrappings have been taken off and rolled up. Mary sees the angels and then supposedly sees the gardener. This seeing is an essential theme in John's gospel, that people see Jesus. Look for Jesus. It is no mistake that at the end of the gospel passage this morning, when Mary returns to Jesus' brothers to tell the news of her encounter, that she says, "I have seen the Lord." Note that she does not say that Jesus has been resurrected or that he is risen, but "I have seen the Lord." Why? The classic answer has been, because seeing is believing. That was certainly the case for Thomas later in John's gospel. But sometimes we don't see. Often the movement of the Spirit, the hand of God, the risen Christ, are difficult to recognize. Sometimes it's because we have stopped looking. I know that has been true in my life. Isn't it something that Simon Peter, the rock, the one who he gives the keys of the kingdom to, he isn't the one who first encounters Jesus? And it's not even the beloved disciple who reclined at Jesus' side at the Last Supper. No, it's Mary. And I have to believe that one of the reasons why Mary was the proto-apostle, or the first one sent by the risen Christ, was because she kept looking. As her tears continued to fall, Mary looked again, and this time saw the two angels dressed in white. Then, turning around, she sees someone who she supposes to be the gardener. And isn't this true for us as well? Sometimes we come so close to the mystery that it's right in front of us, in plain sight, and yet we do not see it. This was true for other disciples on the road to Emmaus as well, but here it is in the calling of Mary's name when she is able to recognize the Lord. But it is in continuing to look, in being open to what is in front of us, that we recognize the truth before us. So what are we looking for? Where should we be looking? Like the Gospels, rather than attempt to explain the resurrection, I would like to share a few recent encounters where I have seen glimpses of the resurrection. A couple happened last night, here at our Easter Vigil. One of the gathered was a friend of a parishioner and he hadn't been to church in decades. He's been pretty skeptical of this whole organized religion. And who knows, maybe that's why he felt so comfortable last night. We're not always the most organized religions. But because of the request of a friend, he showed up. and took in the strangeness of the service until it came time for communion. He read the statement we have in the bulletin about what we believe is happening at the table and who is invited to join. It had been decades since he had approached a table like this one, and that was on purpose. He asked the woman next to him, "So does that mean if I'm drawn to God, I can come forward and have communion?" Yeah. Friends, you know that crazy part of our gospel this morning where Peter and the beloved disciple are in a foot race sprinting to the tomb? Well, I can't say it was an enactment here last night, but this man nearly ran to that spot right there to receive the bread and the wine once he heard that he too was invited. And it was only when he turned around to return to his seat that he saw the number of people that he had cut off in his rush to the table. Once he saw that this feast was waiting for him, he ran to take part. Another person was driving up Cedar Street, right here, last night around 9:30 p.m. She was on her way somewhere else. She had been to All Souls once before, several months ago, for a friend's memorial service. And as she drove up to the corner of Cedar and Spruce, she saw that the doors of this church were open and that a service was taking place. Afterwards, she did not know why, but she felt compelled to pull over. So she did. And in another glimpse of the resurrection, she found a place to park. And she entered the Easter vigil through those doors just before the baptisms, when the church was dark and bathed in candlelight. She was blown away by the baptisms, by the litany of saints, by the Eucharist. In her words, it was the most moving spiritual experience of her life. She at first did not know what she was seeing, but felt compelled to keep looking. The next glimpse is also about someone who has fresh eyes. One of the gifts of being in a community like All Souls comes in watching people enter their faith for the first time. Over the past several months, a couple of adults of this parish have been preparing for their baptism this Easter. Now, in their lives, they have both had trials, and both came to this parish last Lent and Holy Week looking for something more. And through the spirit felt in the embrace of this community, the ritual, the rhythm of the ritual, the known reality of grace, they were baptized at the vigil last night. And as they came to know this way, this is what they said. "This new way of being is real, and I don't feel like the same person. I feel like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders." I tell you, friends, it is real. You can see it in their eyes. The last glimpse is different. It so happens that a few weeks ago, a member of this parish was dying. She had been in decline for a while after losing a battle with cancer. Her body was weakened and she was slipping in and out of consciousness. Her time in this life was counted by days, then by hours. One morning, she was unresponsive, and her family called the parish office asking for one of the priests of the parish to be present. When I arrived, I didn't know if she would be part of this world or not. And yet, having been told that a priest was coming to pray with her, she began to respond. Around her bed, perched on chairs, rails, anything we could find, the family told stories. She remembered essential moments. We sang spirituals. And then when it came time for the ministration at the time of death, what is commonly known as the last rites, she did a remarkable thing. Reaching deep within, after days upon days of being flat on her back, she willed herself to sit up and to take our hands and to pray, which we did. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant. Acknowledge, we humbly beseech you, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of saints in light. I tell you, friends, there is no doubt in my heart that she knew full well what lay ahead. And she was not afraid. In her last hours, unexpectedly, unbelievably, she was present, ready, looking for Jesus to take her home. Friends, these are but a few of the glimpses that I have seen here in this family of the families. They happen every day. Sometimes in ways that we don't at first recognize, often in ways that we do not expect. As we proclaim this strange and troublesome truth of the risen one, I ask one thing of all of us, this Easter morning and in the days that follow. Keep looking. For Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.